are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Another episode for Thursday, February 6th. And that's right, the bonus trade deadline episode for you here today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. You can hear the optimism in my voice. It is 12:02 in the afternoon and you can hear the alerts coming in on my phone, so maybe we'll get a live reaction at some point. But we're going to break down the trade deadline today before, during, and after. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, as you should be already doing that, of course. Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook. But a bare bones version of the show. We will come back with a real regular show tomorrow, Friday morning, with more reaction. We're going to have barely any ads on this one, maybe one or two, but not much as usual. And like I said, it's noon as I tape this one. The trade deadline coming up in less than 3 hours now, 3 p.m. I will update and jump in on a second segment for this show kind of during, as the trade deadline is unfolding at about 2, 2:30, something like that. And then we'll jump on for the end of the show about 3:30 or so and see how that goes. But we're looking for reaction from you guys, too, for tomorrow's show, for Friday. So whatever you feel about the trade deadline, however this all transpires, and it's looking like a slow one possibly for Pistons fans, whatever happens, give me your calls. Looking for a lot of you guys. Come in 810-666-1546, all the regulars, all the newbies, everyone. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Looking for your trade deadline reactions. Keep it under 90 seconds. Your name, where you're from, and what you feel about how Ed Stefanski and the front office handled the trade deadline. That'll be on Friday's show that we'll play some of those. There is a little bit of news from this morning around the league. Nationally, Shams is reporting that Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill are indeed headed to Miami. So for now, it sounds like that potential three-team deal is dead. Andre Iguodala headed from Memphis to Miami. We knew about that, but we also thought that maybe Crowder and Hill could be rerouted. Rod Beard is going at the fans right now a little bit. He's a little frustrated. Understandably, of course, a lot of crap comes in the mentions this time of year for those guys. So that's what that buzzing is on my phone right now. But yeah, there was some thought that Hill and Crowder could be rerouted to Oklahoma City, and that Danilo Gallinari could be headed to Miami as well. But that seems to be not the case, as Crowder and Hill are headed to Miami for now. Doesn't really change much there with the Pistons' plans, obviously. But as for the Pistons, kind of eerily quiet right now. James Edwards III of The Athletic, friend of the show, passed along earlier that the Celtics actually made an offer for Pistons' Christian Wood, and Detroit wasn't interested in that offer and kind of moved on from it. Next up was Chris Haynes of Yahoo reporting that about 10 o'clock in the morning, because he said with just under 5 hours left, there's an increased likelihood Andre Drummond will remain a member of the Detroit Pistons past the trade deadline. Following up on that, Keith Smith, who is a must-follow for cap purposes and knows a lot of things about some of the fringe moves around the NBA, give Keith a follow. He's looking for a full-time job, always talking about it. So hire him if you got a full-time job for him as well. But Keith reporting that Andre Drummond is likely to remain a Piston, and it's looking similar for Derrick Rose and maybe Markieff Morris too. Detroit has set an asking price and isn't really moving off of it. A lot can change in a few hours, but right now, Pistons holding pat, end quote. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we'll see. Time is ticking. Of course, the phone lines are open for them and their front office, so we'll see how it all kind of shakes down. But a slow start to this trade deadline, what Pistons fans definitely didn't want to see, what I definitely didn't want to see, and it looks like it might be coming to reality, but we'll see how it all kind of shakes out throughout the afternoon. I said it before, I'll say it again, not going to overreact until 3 p.m. on Thursday. This front office could have been posturing this entire time. However, unlikely as that may appear right now, Shams promoting him being on Stadium, whatever that is, from 2:30 to 3 p.m. there. I know that's one of his, there's like a website kind of, one of his employers at whatever. We're not going to get into that. But so basically the three categories of deals that could happen today for the Pistons. We'll kind of break it down, and I'll give you my quick thoughts on it here. But you got Rose and Drummond, of course, the two biggest names that could be dealt by the Pistons today. And from Chris Haynes' reporting on Andre Drummond, it seems to be that that's not going to happen. We know that Atlanta was very involved about a month ago, publicly threw Andre Drummond out there. That didn't happen. And now, and I kind of vouch for keeping Andre Drummond at this point. If you're not going to get anything for him, you hold on to him. Maybe he opts out this summer. I don't believe that's going to happen. And if he opts in, maybe you can convince someone to take him on, knowing that they get a full season of Andre Drummond with an expiring deal at 2021 wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. That's just where I'm at with that. Of course, publicly throwing Andre Drummond out there with Woj bombs was a mistake if he's not going to get moved, and that's a problem with the locker room, maybe, and irresponsible on the front office staff. Derrick Rose is the one I have an issue with. It sounds like he's not going to get moved as well. That's the problem I have. That's why if Drummond and Rose don't get dealt and there's nothing overwhelming on fringe moves or an unexpected move, that this is going to be a D-plus at best for me, for this staff. Derrick Rose, whether it was the injury, and you can blame the coaching staff for that, or it was the Pistons trying to hold on to him for what they believe could be better offers this summer, or maybe they want to keep him around next year for some reason. I don't see Derrick Rose as being the type of player who should be involved in a big rebuild. I don't think his presence helps younger guys on the court. Now, off the court, maybe that's the case. Maybe you want to have some good veterans around. I think you could find other good veterans for that locker room presence. And if there's any kind of situation where the personal relationship between Arn Tellem and Derrick Rose is a reason, a very major reason for keeping him, that's malpractice. That's a BS front office. That's not what you do in the NBA. This is big boy basketball. Trades happen. Derrick Rose has been traded. He is a veteran in this league. He understands how things go. He should want to go play for a contender if he's a competitor, first of all, and shouldn't really want to be sticking around with this team. I don't understand that justification. And no, I don't believe that the offers this summer for Derrick Rose will be better, and certainly not at next deadline. There's no world where next deadline the deals for Derrick Rose can be better, in my opinion. I could be proven wrong, and we'll keep tabs on that. We'll see what happens this summer. We'll see what happens next deadline if the Pistons hold on to him. But I'm on record as saying I do not believe that the offers for Derrick Rose will be better this summer or next year. The other category of moves could be minor moves for expiring deals. I do still expect Markieff Morris and Langston Galloway to be moved for some sort of package of possible second-round picks, maybe semi-intriguing players. I do expect that to happen. That is the bare minimum. And if that doesn't happen, then we're going off the rails here in Pistons land. I will throw Tim Frazier, Reggie Jackson, Thon Maker into that category of minor moves. I don't expect any of those guys to get moved, but that would obviously fall into that category of minor moves. With Reggie Jackson's big salary, it makes it unexpected for me that he gets moved. But if he does, that could be an interesting move, and we'll see how that impacts the Pistons' cap sheet and draft status going forward. The other category is unexpected moves, and I'll throw Luke Kennard into that category for now, although maybe he's a little bit less unexpected because his name was out there in Phoenix. If he doesn't get moved, again, it's good for the Pistons' future. I mean, he's a good player, but to publicly drag one of your cornerstones for the future, supposedly, with Luke Kennard, and to not deal him, again, is more front office malpractice. So that Spiva Kailuk, Christian Wood, whatever else, we'll throw into that category of unexpected moves that I don't believe will go down before the 3 o'clock deadline today. But, man, so far, and again, not judging anything as far as final grades or anything like that, but it's been a complete failure for this front office. Not moving players they should move, not getting off of expiring so far, and publicly dragging guys like Andre Drummond and Luke Kennard, who are two of your most important players, for better or worse, going forward, near term, medium term, and also long term as well. So this has been a disaster so far, to be completely honest. and to be completely frank about it. But we're also going to give him a chance. So up next, I will be taping a segment kind of during what I expect to be the most impactful part of the trade deadline, 2:30, maybe 2:45, something like that. Later on, we'll do a little bit of a recap. Still looking for your calls as well. But that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, it is now 2:13 on Thursday afternoon, which means we are about 47 minutes away from the trade deadline. And guess what? No Pistons news. But I do want to kind of fill you in on what's going on around the league at this point. We've got D'Angelo Russell on the move is the big one, obviously, from Golden State to Minnesota. Kind of a long rumored courtship between Minnesota and D'Angelo Russell, with Karl Anthony Towns being a really good friend of D'Angelo Russell. So Andrew Wiggins is off to Golden State. This is a Timberwolves 2021 protected pick, number 3 and below would convey to the Golden State Warriors. Again, that's 2021, not this summer, and then becomes unprotected in 2022, the double draft. And then there's also a second-round pick going as well. Local interest here with Derek Walton being traded from the Clippers to the Atlanta Hawks for some cash as well. It seems like the Hawks are going to be cutting Derek Walton, and so let's see. Another, just some reaction from D'Angelo Russell. I think that Golden State could have gotten more for this. Andrew Wiggins, not that I have a really strong opinion. I know that everyone hates on Andrew Wiggins. Had a nice start to this season, but hasn't really been all that productive since then. But I just think the contract is just onerous. It's just so much money being paid to him that I'm not a big fan of this move for Golden State. I would imagine that maybe this summer, when some teams had some more time to work with things, then maybe they could have rolled with something better. But then you get Stephen Clay. Makes more sense to have a guy like Andrew Wiggins on the court as opposed to another ball-dominant type of player in D'Angelo Russell. So they're probably thinking about that kind of thing with team construct going forward. But now, you know, a pick in 2021 doesn't really help you all that much. Obviously, it extends maybe the life of how good your team is going to be for a long time. But I know that we're kind of just filibustering a little bit here, maybe waiting for something to happen as we're on the air. The latest news is that it seems like Marcus Morris is on his way to the Clippers from the New York Knicks, and it seems like Mo Harkless will be a big part of that deal. You got Cabangeli there as well, maybe some other minor assets, maybe even the first-round pick of the Clippers this year going to the New York Knicks. And that's a late first-round pick, obviously not that great, but for Marcus Morris, it seemed like the Lakers were kind of in until they decided to pull back Kyle Kuzma here in the last couple of minutes. So sounds like Marcus Morris is going to be heading to the Clippers. Now, what does that mean for the Pistons? Here we are, kind of the elephant in the room. Markieff Morris, Langston Galloway. Again, what we kind of talked about, the Rose and Drummond part of this whole thing, and then the minor moves part of this whole thing with some of the expiring deals and maybe an unexpected move like a Luke Kennard. Rose and Drummond, again, I've pretty much resigned to the fact that we might be done with the whole Rose and Drummond aspect of this whole thing. Oh, here we go. Woj bomb incoming during the taping of the second segment here. Cleveland is finalizing a deal for Detroit's Andre Drummond. League sources tells ESPN. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, this is as solid as it gets. I'm going to push the old retweet button right here. I'm also going to pull up the got friends texting me already. And a Milwaukee friend here. I'm going to pull up the... Obviously, the first name that comes to mind is Tristan Thompson as someone that they have been floating recently. There's Kevin Love out there, but that just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense for the Pistons taking on more long-term money on a pretty, you know, comparable player, a much different type of player, but obviously comparable level of player. You got Tristan Thompson, you got Brandon Knight as players that have big salaries that kind of probably need to be included. You could throw John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova. This is a team that have all sorts of expiring contracts that are going to be available to match that number. The question is, what kind of assets are you getting? Obviously, with Cleveland, you would figure that a guy like Darius Garland and Colin Sexton wouldn't be included. I would throw Jetty Osman into that as well. But if you want to talk yourself into maybe one of these much lesser young assets being involved, a Dylan Windler, a Kevin Porter Jr., and I don't think Kevin O'Connor reporting it's Brandon Knight, John Henson, and a second round pick. So Brandon Knight, welcome back to the Pistons. Brandon Knight, a former top draft pick for the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to retweet that Kevin O'Connor tweet right now. So, yeah, expiring contracts. Brandon Knight, John Henson, and then a second-round pick from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to pull up the Cleveland Cavaliers. As I was not prepared to be doing a Cleveland Cavaliers deep dive right now. And, of course, looking at that team the rest of the season, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, and Andre Drummond all being in the same front court. Is Tristan Thompson a buyout candidate? Perhaps. Is Kevin Love maybe now on the trade block here for the next 40 minutes? That's a big consideration as well. Man, just a lot to take in right now as I tape this. We've got Shams confirming. We've got Vince confirming. We've got the second round pick. They did get the asset, according to Vince. And again, I'm pulling up, sorry to filibuster a little bit quite right here, but shocking, a strange move. Didn't see this one coming. And this signals that the Pistons were completely ready to move on from Andre Drummond, which makes a lot of sense because they talked about that a month ago through reports, through Adrian Wojnarowski. And I, for one, am glad to see this day. And I know that there's a few of you out there who are not, but I am. Cleveland Cavaliers future draft picks, and I clicked on the wrong future GM page, which you should be all checking out, by the way. The future drafts detailed. Let's see here. Cleveland Cavaliers, they have some incoming second-round picks, Houston, San Antonio, and Washington, and Golden State. They have a whole bunch in 2022. So my guess is it's going to be one of those. Cleveland's own second-round pick this summer is off the table. They have traded that to Charlotte. So that would have been the best-case scenario, but they do not have theirs. So my guess is it's going to be one of those 2022s, just because they have five of them, including their own, and that's probably going to be what that's going to be. Andre Drummond on the way to Cleveland. You traded within the division. John Beilein getting Andre Drummond. Unbelievable. A surprise. And to me, it's a decent move. They needed to move on from him. They wanted to move on from him. They got an asset, a second-round pick. I understand it. I understand it completely. It's a team that wants to go through a rebuild. It's a team that wants a new direction. And I said earlier that maybe you hold on to them and see if it clears up this summer. They obviously didn't want to do that. We can't talk about them for not doing anything and rip them for that. Again, I just think that that's what they're doing, and I'm okay with it. We've seen enough of status quo. We want to move on. We've talked about that plenty, and that's what they're doing. So I'm going to shut this down for now. We're going to come back after the deadline when the smoke clears. I do expect Markieff and Langston to be moved as we kind of move along here. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll be back here in a minute with more from the end of the trade deadline. We're going to go around the internet, or we're going to recap it all. And as the dust clears and the smoke clears, again, we want your reaction. 810-666-1546. Call us and let us know what you think. Andre Drummond, head to the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up next here on Locked On Pistons podcast. As we'll check one more. Yeah, nothing there. A proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, well, let's vamp. This is, first off, this is a horrific day for the Detroit Pistons. I don't know if we can go, I'm between a D minus and an F at this point, and I'll explain to you why. It's 3:31 right now. I'm pretty reasonably comfortable in saying that the Pistons won't be reporting any more deals after the one big deal they made. Andre Drummond off to the Cleveland Cavaliers for John Henson and Brandon Knight in a 2023 second-round pick, the least of which between whichever is worse between their own pick, Cleveland's, and Golden State's 2023. So that's about the worst possible scenario for a second-round pick that you could have gotten of all that Cleveland had. They had three extras from 2022 in addition to their own. They did not have one this summer in 2020. And in turn, to get the roster down, the Pistons waived Tim Frazier. I don't have any feelings about that, obviously. But the Andre Drummond trade, I am a little bit I don't have strong feelings about it either way. If you listen to the show, you know that this type of trade is one that I would have turned down. I would have not have made this deal. I would have instead gone to the summer and see what happens. If with the hope that Andre Drummond probably just opts out, and if he opts out, you're sacrificing that 2023 low bottom of the barrel second round pick. That's meaningless at this point. The kind of trade, the kind of deal that you can just throw money at and get whenever else. James Edwards, by the way, confirming right now that there are no unreported Pistons trades. So it's a done deal as far as this afternoon in Pistons basketball. The other option is that Andre Drummond opts in and that maybe you're stuck with him for $28.7 million next year. I am of the opinion, and I know there's some of you guys out there that agree with me and some of you that maybe don't, that you could have figured out some way to trade him this summer if he opts in. And maybe you have to attach a small asset to him to make that happen. I just feel like with the teams that could have talked themselves into one full season of Andre Drummond, that maybe someone could have come to the table and could have tried to make that happen. It's not a guarantee. It's a roll of the dice, but that's one that I would have made. That being said, I can get behind the idea of the team wanting to move on from Andre Drummond. I know watching games for the last several years, I've wanted to move on from Andre Drummond, and I do want to move on. There's a part of me that feels like a weight is off your shoulders, that this team is moving on, and that's a good thing. I get it. I totally understand it. They threw his name out there in public a few weeks ago. Things have looked not very good since then. I totally get moving on from him. That said, if you're going to make this deal, which I'm not totally opposed to, you have to go ahead with the rest of the rebuild. Derrick Rose, I knew as of earlier when we started taping the show that he was probably going to be sticking around. I knew that, and I get it, and that's fine. I've come to terms with that. But why in God's name is Markieff Morris not getting moved? He might pick up his player option for next year, which means you're stuck without that cap space if that's the most important thing that you're going for right now. Kevin O'Connor reported that half the league was trying to play, was trying to get Markieff Morris as of yesterday. Langston Galloway, and I know that you retain his bird rights and he's a guy that Dwayne Casey likes, but that's not a rebuild. It's not a rebuild to retain the bird rights of Langston Galloway. And I don't know, there wasn't a lot of scuttlebutt around Langston Galloway. Maybe there wasn't a lot there, but this is a guy who's shooting over 40%. He's one of the best corner shooters in the NBA. I saw a stat that he, like, from the right corner, maybe it was, that he's like the best in the NBA right now. Unbelievable. You can't get anything for those guys. Derrick Rose too. It's malpractice on the front office for not trying to get something reasonable for Derrick Rose. The fact that we're talking about a damn lottery pick for Derrick Rose, that's not going to happen. Come on. He's at the peak of his value. You've already messed him up injury-wise. I don't know if that's the situation that hurt his case, but man, this is I'm going D-minus F. D-minus only because there is a weight lifted with the Andre Drummond thing. But again, and I think Ben on Twitter said it, I retweeted him, half measures, once again. It's not a rebuild. This is not yet a rebuild. This is Derrick Rose, Langston Galloway, Markieff Morris, and Tony Snell, and John Henson. Throw him into there. Reggie Jackson. These are all these guys getting minutes and ridiculous. Getting minutes, taking shots. You're not preparing the young guys. And yeah, maybe there's a Reggie Jackson buyout that's going to happen. But there's too many minutes being sucked up by guys that are not helping you get better in the next few years. It's just bad. And again, I came into this day thinking, well, at least they're going to move Markieff. At least they're going to move Langston. They'll hold on to Andre, which is probably pretty prudent at this point. And they're going to hold on with Rose, which I don't understand. I don't agree with. But if there's one bad move, one thing that I think is wrong, I can get over that. No problem. But no, it's like every single move was something I disagree with. I don't know. And obviously, if Kevin O'Connor is getting these leaks from the front office, that's got to come from one member of the front office. And you get the sense that maybe that's one member of the front office who wants to move on, and that maybe overall there's other members of the front office that doesn't want to move on. Maybe these leaks about Woj and Drummond and whatever happened and Luke Kennard and Phoenix, maybe that's coming from one member of the front office, but maybe another member of the front office doesn't quite like it. This is a team that, as we know, does not have a general manager. We hired Ed Stefanski and said he's going to organize the front office. Next thing we know, he's in charge of the front office, making the moves. I go back to that. We don't talk about that enough here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is a franchise that, in my mind, is in a little bit of disarray right now. I don't even know. I mean, Aaron Tellem is kind of in charge of the Derrick Rose department, it seems like. Ed Stefanski may be kind of in charge. You got a couple former players that are well-regarded for their front office acumen. and Malik Rose and Pat Garrity, Sasha Gupton couldn't get out of here fast enough. There was apparently no replacements made on the analytics side, as far as I know. Tom Gores thinks he wants to do a rebuild now, okay with sending off Andre Drummond, but apparently didn't get the memo that the rest of the rebuild needs to take place if that's going to happen. Not feeling good here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Looking for your reaction. 810-666-1546. What I believe is a bad day in Detroit Pistons basketball. We'll talk about Andre Drummond more going forward, but I'm looking for your reaction from the trade deadline. I'm going to get home late tonight, and we'll put together maybe a more fully formed thoughts, reaction from the trade deadline, but I need your help. So do me a solid and call 810-666-1546. Let me know what you think, and man, just not a good day for the Detroit Pistons, despite the fact that myself in a large way, and I think a lot of you guys, are maybe happy to move on from the Andre Drummond experience. I just don't see direction. I don't see rebuild. I don't know what we're going to be watching for the rest of the season. I'm dreading these last 30 games, just with a crowded court of players that aren't going to be here 2 or 3 years from now. It seems like a drag that this team marches on in this way. So this is your host, Matt Shook, Locked On Pistons podcast. Despite all that, have a good rest of your day, and we'll talk to you guys Friday. So have a good one, guys.